I'm going to pop the lights on this second, which will, there we go, make it feel much more like a show, and much less like we're all sitting in a pizza place at 4:30 looking at a person. Cool. Welcome. I guess, let's sort of dive straight into it. My name's Matt Harvey, and this is my co-host, Marty. Could you give him a little applause for him up on the stage? And say, okay. But even as like a... as a choice for the interior design of a pizza place, like what is, like, what's happening here, right? I don't know. What do they normally have up here?
Pizza with a view.
You can sit up above everybody, get to pay extra. Let's have a little chat. This is my friend, Mark Allen.
How you doing?
You want to talk a bit through what we're going through here?
But first I would like to sing REO Speedwagon's Keep Up. We'll get fired. Okay, so we do a live version of our podcast, our very successful podcast. Upwards of 12 to 13 people listen every week.
That's a stretch amount of
money. Yeah, I'm rounding it. It's a very, our podcast basically being about sitting in a hot sweaty room and we talk about our feelings. Naked. Is that the podcast?
No, that's us.
What we do is we play some clippets. Oh, well, first we talk about a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
And then we play some clippets of stand-ups in the podcast. And then we go, you like this? So, you know,
yeah.
Stuff that we think you would like, we play.
Yeah, essentially the philosophy of show is people that we think you should know. And that's sort of what we're doing here today. It's a little showcase of people who we've seen in the festival, who I've seen different festivals, people sitting around the country who we think have a lot of promise, who we think are quite talented performers, and you may or may not have heard of, and bring them up here to showcase them for you guys. Then we'll do a fun little news quiz at the end. Somebody's going to walk away with some free tickets, and then we all go back into the sun. Good times.
Yeah, normally we play clips of them, and then we talk about them afterwards, what we like, what we don't like. This time we're going to bring humans up and to their face tell them what we think. To their face.
I mean, we wouldn't have them
there. No, they're all going to be right. But, yeah. It's not like we're like having people we've never heard of. We're like, what do you think? Oh, great. We trust everyone we have.
You're not going to Sydney.
I'm not Simon Cowell. I'm not going to be like,
it's not that kind of show. I guess to start us off, just to give us a bit of a vibe for what we're going on. Let's talk about the festival a little bit. Has anyone... this isn't everyone's first show, is it? I know it's yours, Canberra, because you just came from Canberra. But what about anyone else?
Everyone's first show?
First test? No, what have you seen?
We just saw Sam Campbell.
Oh, you just saw Sam Campbell? Oh, okay. Yeah, it's good. Sam Campbell. Yeah. Anybody else? Anyone else got a hot tip? Hot tip for the crowd?
No, I don't. It's your first show?
Well, that's the best show.
Well, I mean, it's a good choice.
What a great way to start.
It's a good choice. But you're
a pinnacle. Everything's going to start from here.
Well, we're 3 weeks deep. I feel like you've missed that little bit of things.
And we're waiting for this because it'll be on here. They're like, oh, come on. We are one of those 12 to 13 people, listen. This is all out of
it's nice of you all to turn in. It's nice to see, put some faces to the no, I can, I crack. Maybe we'll come working. I'm doing my own show, so come see me. But, let's see, who have I seen? I've seen a few good ones. I know there's a lot of people in town. Ron Funches, but you don't need the recommendations to go through. Ron Funches is going to do just fine on the show. Who else have we seen? Great show, Michael Williams did a great show called The Clip Art Cowboy, which is all about his experience being across the street from the Las Vegas shooting in a hotel across the street. It's an amazing show, very funny. Surprisingly, for that material.
Just very
funny. Because I'm feeling all sexy up. You're like, this is a comedy festival,
no,
right?
This isn't
fringe, is it? But no, it's very funny.
There's a PowerPoint presentation, it can't not be funny.
And clip art presentation. Which is hilarious. And let's see, all our guests who are on today, obviously, we're going to say that you should go check them out. I'm trying to think of what else I've seen.
As
a couple shows that are finished.
A non-festival show. Dion Arnold.
Yeah.
We had him on the podcast yesterday, but I'm sure you all know that because he was. and he's doing a non-festival show, which just means he didn't want to pay his registration. A loophole.
Yeah.
But he's doing it tomorrow night at a whole lot of Loving Brunswick. He was brilliant.
The show's called I Killed My Men.
Mm.
And
again, just funny stuff. Just always win the funniest.
Well, it's a storytelling. It's really good. It's about her decision to direct Dignity and the assistance and the journey to that.
He handles it with something. He's funny.
If you know John Bennett, who's a used to be Melbourne-based storyteller, he sort of tours a lot now. I think he's in LA. He just won the Story Slam for the Moth in LA. I saw it online, and he directed that show. So he's in. You're in good hands. Yeah, go check him out.
It's gonna be good.
Tomorrow night.
A whole lot of love. Yeah. Okay. Any more questions? Any more questions? This is Town Forum. Open Town Forum. No, we're good.
All right,
let's go.
I mean, someone was listening. It doesn't personally matter what did we get into.
Which is a nice check.
$5 to many bucks.
I'm going to do a little set for you guys, just to warm you up, to give you an idea of what's going to happen here. This is a little snippet from my show. So mine's a storytelling show as well, right? But what I'm going to do here is I'm going to give you half a story and leave you on a nice little cliffhanger, because what comes to my show, guys? Gonna leave it there. So that's, if you're interested in hearing the rest of that story, I've got four more stories as well. They're not all as violent as that one. You can come check me out. My show's called I Got Bit by Monkey. I'm on all week at 6 o'clock. But that's not why we're here. We are here for our guests. So if you could please make our guests feel very welcome, make them feel like they're giving up their Sunday afternoon for a reason. And put your hands together. Please welcome to the stage, Nina Oriyama.
I'm not a storytelling comedian, I tell jokes. So thank you for coming out. Oh man, it's good to be here. Melbourne, how are you feeling tonight? I love Melbourne because I used to live in Bathurst, right? Does anyone know where Bathurst is?
Not in Melbourne, anyway.
Yeah, it's not in Melbourne, that's right. That's why I like Melbourne, because it's better than Bathurst. Bathurst is like a country town in New South Wales, right? It's famous for its car racing, right? Like it's Bathurst 1000 races. Less known for its Bathurst 1000 races. Oh, I'm half Asian, by the way. That's why my face is weird. Yeah, my dad's Japanese, so he blew here, and then I grew here. Bathurst is like a real weird place. I went there for uni, right? And the uni was real dodgy. Like, how dodgy? My first assignment was to go to the pub. Yeah, like, easiest half section I ever got. The full assignment, right, was to go to the pub and find out what the locals thought were their real issues, right? And Bathurst locals are scary. Like, the first guy I talked to kicked it off with a, you know what I reckon? It's like a great way to start a conversation. He's like, you know what I reckon? I reckon Pauline Hanshin should be president of Australia. Yeah, I was like, holy shit, this guy's so progressive. Like, not only does he want a woman in charge, he also wants Australia to be a republic. But I kept asking him, I was like, why Pauline Hanshin? And he was like, well, she's gonna stop the boats. And I was like, which boats? And he goes, the Japanese fishing boats, they're killing all our whales. Yeah, so I didn't know if this guy was actually a racist or just like an idiot that loved animals. So I was like, what about the refugees? And he was like, oh, bring them in! No, he didn't say that. I left. He was out there. Yeah, not much to do in Bathurst, right? So I tried meth for the first time. It's great, thank you for asking. But when I got home from the meth, I decided to Google it because I thought it might be meth. And the first thing that pops up is an ad called Meth Not Even Once. And I was like, well, guess I have to do it forever now. That's how they get you. This ad's amazing, though. It's from the early 2000s. Starts off with like an innocent little girl, blonde hair, pink sweater. And a guy comes up to her and he's like, hey, you want some meth? And she's like, okay. It's not a clear and enthusiastic yes, but the man continues, as men do. And he's like, here's your meth, and then he gives her this meth. And then he goes, here's your meth boyfriend, and this creepy guy comes from nowhere and like puts his arms around this girl. And then he goes, here's your meth baby, and then he just throws the baby at her. Right? And then he catches it, because meth is really fast reflexes. And he's like, here's your meth face. And he shows this reflection, and it's a mirror with this girl's face, but her teeth are missing, and her eyes are black because she's done meth. And he goes, meth, not even once. And like, I saw this and I just felt ripped off. I was like, I didn't get a meth boyfriend. Like, I didn't get a meth baby. Like, all I got was a meth face. It used to be hot. Boys been weird looking, like my nickname at uni was Schnitzel Tits. Yeah. I was like, is it because they're flat or crusty? Like, I don't know. But they're like, 2 for 1 on Tuesday. I'm trying to love myself over at trying to get to the free the nipple movement. Right, because I want women to be able to show their nipples like men do. And I keep my hands around and I'm sitting. But after women equality, I've actually started wearing men's underwear because I heard it increases your sperm count. And I'm still missing it, like. Joke. Anyway, but my friend, she hates free the nipple, right? So he's like, Nina, the nipple is sexual. Like, the nipple is sexual. And I'm just like, bitch, your face is sexual. Right, not in an immature way, just because she sucks a lot of dicks. With her mouth. It's not my first. Anyway, when I moved from Bath, I actually moved to Sydney, right? And I moved to Bondi. Bondi's a really rich area in Sydney. Like, it's so rich, people don't know what life is like. Like, so rich, like, I had to put on Lululemon just to go downstairs and have a bomb. It's not what it's for. But people want to get really defensive if you call them rich. They're like, no, we're not in the working class. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, why are you talking like this? They're like, because we're on cocaine all the fucking time. But they never share it. I lived next to this Botox mum when I was in it. It is 4:30, I realise. It's too early to be doing drug jokes. And she had like Botox and she was just so out of touch. Like, she was showing me pictures of her baby, and what she did was she dressed her up in like a 3-piece suit and put a little martini glass full of water next to him. Yeah, she took pictures of her good camera, right? She was just like flicking through this album, like, isn't he so cute? Like, he's a little alcoholic. And I was like, yeah, just like mommy. But the thing is, in Bathurst, like, I saw a 6-year-old smoke a durry at the train station. Yeah, when you see that in real life, like, when I saw that in real life, this big wash of shame came over me. You know, I was just like, fuck, I wish I had a good camera. Because my neighbor would have loved it. I'll leave you with this. I recently came out to my parents as bisexual. Thanks for the applause. No, it doesn't deserve it. But yeah, I just wasn't planning on doing it right. I was like, I'll just pretend to be straight my whole life. But then I started wearing button-ups and like clipping carabiners on shit. Giving my nails real clean for fingering. And I was like, fine, I'll just tell them. And it was fine, right? Well, my mum was like, at least you're not a lesbian. And I was like, I'll Google it. And my dad's like Japanese, so he didn't know what I was saying. Still counts.
Still counts.
I just think being bisexual is weird, right? It's kind of like that tacos ad. You know the one where they're like, should we have hot tacos? Or should we have soft tacos? And this little girl comes along, she's like, oh, good, all those dogs. Which means like, oh, we have both, and everyone like lifts their shoulders and carries around, so we can be partying. That's what being bisexual is like. except for no one carries on their shoulders. Right, everyone kind of like throws you on the ground, and it's like, pick a fucking taco! Elfrico.
Elfrico.
Yeah, just experimenting with soft tacos. Really, really into hard taco. Nah, like, don't get me wrong, like, I love a good hard taco. Like, a good hard taco. Is it sometimes they can be emotionally insensitive and like creepy? And like when you eat them, the sauce just doesn't taste very good. At least with soft tacos, sometimes you eat them and then sometimes they eat you back. Alright, that's my time. I love the interrogation period after comedy.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's favorite.
It makes me feel real good.
How was the mess?
It was good, thanks for asking. I literally say that in the bid.
But really?
Don't do it.
You say it's too early for drug tests, but it's after 4:20, so we're fine. Don't worry about that. No, we'll show you.
Oh, my show's called Ninoyama Needs Lift. It's a forum theatre at 9:45. In a room called Ladies Lounge, but gentlemen also welcome. Yeah, it's about how I have 13 drive offences because I'm sick and with a loose unit.
don't know, never been. Clap if you got a driving offence. Not including parking, clap if you got a driving offence. One person, okay.
Well, very relatable.
It's fine, I've sold out the program this one, so I don't need you, but. But yeah, if you do want to, I think there's some tickets available. But yeah, it is about me being a bad driver and getting caught by the cops, so.
I've seen it, I can confirm, it's a good show. The stories sort of build, like, sort of like a, I don't want to I don't want to push the wrong message, but it kind of feels like, in a sense, the arc that goes across it is sort of like a coming of age, you know what I mean? Like you're learning a lot about Nino and Yama and about the journey that you take across the entire show. Because you sort of see little...
But with dick jokes.
Yeah. Yeah, just to keep everyone into its roles, you know. No Michael Cera.
There's not that many dick jokes.
I should burn them all here. So, you know, if you don't want any more than that, that's fine. No, but it's a great show, and I do highly recommend. But thank you for coming up. We'll get you back up a little bit later. Nina and Alan, ladies and gentlemen. We've got another guest, and then we'll do a slight format change. So please put your hands together and welcome to the stage, and Love Pierre.
Thank you. I've never done a gig with them before. We have like all this weird stuff in common. Like we both went to Union Bathurst. We both tried meth there. We both like I'm listening to your material, just being like shit. I also haven't written any like 4:30 in the afternoon material. I also talk a lot about fucking, so strap in. Does anyone here get horny in inappropriate places? Just me. Okay. Not now. Like you guys are fine. It's okay. Like although that's always like 4:30 doesn't make you safe. Well lit doesn't make you safe. Like it's happened to me at the motor registry. Like it was lunchtime on Wednesday, I'm sitting there like down from someone else's lunch bread, just like, oh, I don't know what's going on. Why do I feel so good? This is the best I feel all week, what's going on? And then it hit me that I was ready to fuck. In a place that wasn't ready for me to fuck. So I took a number. it's happened to me in all sorts of places, like in the supermarket, it's happened to me at the supermarket. In fact, it was at the supermarket that I stumbled upon the answer to a question that has haunted me for my entire adult life. Because I've always really wanted to know what it's like having sex with a man. What's it like? And no one will tell me. Kidding, they'll talk about it all the time. I tried to imagine it. Standing in the dairy aisle at Coles, I worked it out. It's like when you push a shopping trolley into other shopping trolleys. It is, isn't it? It's like a dick and then you slide it in and it fits almost perfectly but not quite, and then you go to pull back out again and you're like, oh no, it's stuck, but then it's not. It's designed that way. It's just like fucking. Virgins in the background. Ever since I worked that out, I started really enjoying trips to the supermarket. Started going more than I need to. Probably would have done the trick, if I'm honest, just walking around with like one roll of toilet paper. Just chasing that rush. Can't help it, now I know it's there. Just... I get it, guys, I get it. Clearly I'm a bit of a pervert, because this is the stuff that occupies my mind. Like, this is what takes up space whenever there's like a quiet moment. And I'm acutely aware of being a pervert as well, because I was raised in a religious family. I was raised by Christians, and you know, Christians are just pervs incorporated, really. that they're repressed. This is a crucial detail. They're oppressed because not only does God have a lot of rules around sex, disapprove of a lot of different kinds of sex, but he's also always watching. Always watching. Like some sort of like a high-stakes Santa. But it's not weird. It's not weird that he's always watching, because it's weird that you just probably just watch to make sure you do it right. And he's the guy that invented sex. The thing that gets glossed over a little bit at this point, I think, is that if you've invented sex, you haven't just come up with missionary. You've also come up with fisting, and squirting, and being pissed on for fun. Ah, I don't know, fun stuff. You know, like we might do it, not you guys, obviously. Good wholesome 4:30 comedy attendance. Jesus and the Holy Ghost.
I thought Mary was a virgin.
Well, she's not part of the Trinity. I'm not raised by a God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. One of them's dead, two of them are related. Oh, one of them calls Daddy. And I'm the pervert, I don't think so. And they're all just sneaking into a 29-year-old woman's room at night watching her masturbate. Hypothetically. It seemed like a very wholesome father-son activity to me. I have to assume that this is what my parents remember. They told me to always try my hardest. Because you never know who's paying attention to you. Always watching! Think about that later. What else? Oh, alright, one more. So I'm kind of in between TV series at the moment. Very difficult decision, isn't it, once you've ended one, because you invest a lot of time. And then you know to sort of continue watching, to watch a new one. You know, that's potentially 40 plus hours of your life. Very difficult decision. In between things in general is kind of when you get into trouble, really, isn't it? Like in between relationships, in between jobs, it's like when you accidentally fuck an MRA or, you know, take an archery, that kind of thing. And being in between TV series, I'm making some very poor entertainment choices at the moment. Because you just, you know, while you're dithering and sort of panicking about what the next choice is, you go, oh, fuck it, I'll watch Pirates of the Caribbean 5, in my case. Did you know there were 5? I didn't. This is a film, for context, this particular iteration of the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, that when they were filming it, they had to pause production, the show in the Gulf Coast, they had to pause production. Because Johnny Depp was too fucked up to play a drunk pirate. You know, it really puts it in context, I think. Like, this is a film that, you know, truthfully, I didn't actually get all the way through. I stopped part way because I was watching it. God, is this self-harm? Am I self-harming? I freaked out. My mom called me part way through. I had to check. She said, what are you doing? Woman that gave me life. I couldn't tell her what I was doing. What did I lie? Is that I was high? I haven't written an end to that joke, so I guess I'll run away! Thanks so much, guys. That's
down Fed Square, and then down a little bit further, because it's literally right next to
it. Like right before, as if you were going to go for a swim.
Yeah, it's right before you can jump, turn around, and then she'll be waiting at
you.
Is there anything specific you want to crouch on about your show?
It's kind of a tough one, because it's a really weird show. Like, I guarantee you won't see anything else like it in the festival.
Yeah,
you can't have to take my, you have to take my word for it, because there's a surprise. But it is a weird one. It's twisty and turny. My dad is involved.
Mm-hmm.
There are ghosts. I think one of them was in Adelaide. That was nice. To brag. It's a tricky one. I've written some very clever copy, which is on the fly, which I can give you after this.
Sure. I quite enjoyed it. I thought it was a nice game. like self and identity, and yeah, stories that we tell each other and ourselves.
It's all about trying to be liked by everyone. Yeah. That's essentially.
So if that's not enough to get you down, I don't know what will. It's a really good show, guys. You should go check it out. What time is it again?
It's at 8 o'clock.
Okay. Alright, let's get both of our guests back on stage. But give it up for Ange while we're on the next part. So we've got a little format change. Can you grab that last one? Yeah, I'm sure. So as I told some of you out on the street, when I was firing you, there's a, I don't know who you are, I remember faces. So there's a, this is the second half of the show, so it's a little bit of a format change. I've prepared some questions that are based on some news items from just recently. I'm going to throw them out to my guests here, and I don't really expect them to know the answers, but
you don't
along
know
the way.
Right?
Yeah, no. But the kind of questions I picked, they're not important ones, so I don't expect that as a...
It's a lot of disrespect you're showing for the news right there.
As an actual propagandist, I don't expect to be bored. but then, again, you're all over the place. So this is a bit of a weird one. So I've got a Russian nutritional bar has recently made the news. Do we know why? You look like you know.
No. It's poison.
No, it's not.
Wait, are we supposed to guess or are we supposed to
Yeah.
It's poison.
No, that's a fair guess though.
Soylent brings people.
No. Oh, actually, you're probably the closest in terms of like, an actual answer on this
one. Shit. For being too delicious.
In a sense, yes. Because it's so. This bar. It's called Hematogen. And it has blood as an ingredient.
Whoa.
People love it though, like the Russian populace.
What kind of
blood? They love its cow.
Delicious blood.
Yeah, delicious blood.
Like old blood.
And it's like an extract from the blood, because apparently there was like an iron deficiency issue in Russia, and this was their solution, was to fill a candy bar with part of cow's blood, and be like, hey, you gotta eat that, guys. And generations of people have been brought up on it, and they love it. They're
that just, reminds like, me of like the meat shake.
Yeah,
I didn't make The Simpsons the meat shake, but then I had this realization the other day where like a meat shake actually exists already, but it's like it's spaghetti carbonara sauce.
Oh my god,
it's creamy and then put the like the milk in it and then Anyway.
Or is it like chili carbonara as well? That's like a meat shake.
Yeah, that is like if you were to drink it.
I mean, people think about it. If you're not a vegetarian, you eat blood every day.
Yeah. Well that's That's where we're going. I'm from. Alright. So there's a new trend amongst a subset of anti-vaxxers. What are they doing?
Vaccinating their kids.
One kid.
Like a stealth anti-vaxxer. Like, no, I'm totally on board.
Yeah. It's trying this new thing in school vaccination.
Is it like not commenting on people's anti-vaxxers?
I wish.
Is they go hard, man?
Yeah,
they do.
You know who's gone hard? Cyclists go hard, man. I did a tweet about cyclists, and I got cancelled by cyclists Twitter. Yeah. It was crazy.
Notoriously
brutal. They are alive and well. They're like the NRA, but for bikes.
There's a similar experience with YouTube Twitter. So I just made...
YouTube?
Yeah.
As in Bono?
As in Bono, yeah. I made a joke that was... Because when Bono lost his voice, I made a joke that...
Did he?
Yeah. I made a joke, I was like, oh, Bono loses his voice, everyone grabs the lowest hanging fruit, right? And I was like, oh, man, it's not a great joke, but it's there. And all of YouTube Twitter were like, yeah, this is a good... Yeah, thanks, man.
Thanks
for... I was like, no. This is not what I'm here for.
Oh, you became like, yeah, you were us, like a hero. Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you so
much. No,
I'm still the president of the
family. Oh, yeah, they still pay their dues.
Well, that's a pretty big thing.
Yeah, doing well. They're deciding that they want to vaccinate their pets. for fear of autism. Yeah.
That's so, hang on, I didn't know pets could get autism.
Well, that's just it, like, they can't, like, as far as science goes, as far as any sort of, anything that I read and researched,
I mean, cats, just like, cats are just autistic anyway, like, that's what cats are. That's their deal. Why are my cats so antisocial?
Noticed that there was a little bit of a spike in people saying that they don't want to
in cat measles.
Well, then I came forward. Yeah. All these vets were like, yeah, I thought that was just me, but we're all seeing it. So it's very strange. Okay, let's
I love
it. Please vaccinate your pets. Spain,
less
you don't have
that.
Wow, we've come down to this.
Yes.
Strongly.
I had a hard take. You got a hard take? I want to do some takes.
No, just tacos.
My friends.
Alright, here's something you might be coming across. So the Pentecostal leaders in Australia have warned that if Scott Morrison is not elected, what will happen?
Several plagues. There's pestilence, there's
super
grasshoppers.
Yeah, super close.
Really?
Yeah, you are very close.
Locusts? These are my people. I know that it's part of
are you Pentecostal?
No, no. Like the strictly non-denominational things, like a late Anglican, like a sense like pseudo-Pentecostal type. Like we say they read songs, I don't know. And I feel guilty about that. I'm out, I'm good.
But they're still there.
Whoa.
So my dad doubles. My dad doubles.
Still? Yeah, I was like, see, I'm out. But yeah, I do understand.
You got the book, you're like the pusher.
Yeah.
The Christian pusher.
Sorry.
Well, obviously, you get a skill for it if they're still in there. Maybe they'll take it back.
Maybe it's a way to monetize it.
Yeah.
Make your own cult.
What are you guys doing later?
You want to give us money?
Well, for me, down by the river, you can come home.
It's very clean.
No, they said that if he's not elected, a darkness will spread across Australia. So you're not far off.
Oh, it's already here.
Well, yeah, I saw the march in the street.
I think it's called night time.
Yeah. It'll come for 12 hours.
I love that one.
That lights are going to be like, you see?
It's like those movies where someone goes back in time and they know that an eclipse is happening. They get themselves in trouble and they're like, I will block out the sun unless you release me. See, I'm blocking out the sun.
No.
It's been in a bunch of films, yeah. They're all really bad films. It's been in a bunch of
them. I also love how non-specific that threat is. Like, darkness will spread across the ground. Like, it could be, like, an increase in world prices.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not non-specific.
Yeah. You've got to keep the faith that is the church is going to want
to be...
Yeah, lock into two specifics and they're just like, well, that didn't happen. It's like every year... That the doomsday sayers are like, it's gonna happen this day, this year, definitely. It's nothing has ever gone wrong before, we've never made this guess before, but this day, it's gonna happen this day, this year, definitely. Like every time, I just keep pushing it back for some reason.
doomsday.
Yeah.
We take a rain check on your problems.
I'm gonna wash my hands. Wash my underpants. They said, don't wash your underpants in case you get hit by a shark.
Like, is that the first thing they do? Is they're like, oh, he's dead, but it's sniff.
If I was being hit by a bus, I would shoot myself immediately.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter. If anything,
no,
stop washing. But, like, surely, some weirdo vomit at some point. Like, that saying has to come.
Yeah, right.
It's just extreme paranoia otherwise. The government of Switzerland are removing something from their national stockpile emergency supply. Does anyone know what they're removing?
Michael Jackson DVDs.
They stop calling those a while ago.
They're national.
I like it. It's still in your set though.
Yeah, right? I'm going to commit. Well, it's either that or I have to make a reference to the film Master. It's too new and I don't want to sort of like ruin things for you. Because the only other cultural reference I have is someone wears one glove.
Yeah, the one glove thing is like kind of.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it my mission to find you another cultural
reference. All right. I'll be waiting.
Okay. It'll be cancelled by work Twitter.
I might be, yeah. It's alright.
I don't know, okay, I give up. Is it some kind of drug? It's like a medical pharmaceutical thing.
No, no, it's chocolate. No, it's not chocolate. It's coffee. It's coffee. They've deemed that coffee is not essential for life. So they've stopped stockpiling it.
That would never happen in Melbourne. They'd have the best coffee. They'd have this coffee that the lizards that eat the coffee and shit it back out. You're a horrendous sycophant. I'm a shaman! I'm good for kids, way better than Sydney. Sydney's got nothing.
It's civet coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
It's because they're clever little critters and they know what the best beans are. That's a good background.
Yeah.
Here's another good tip. Civet, good word in Scrabble. You've got a C, you've got a V.
T's not so hot, but you know, the V's, what's that, 5 points?
Yeah.
Father's iPad after entering in the wrong password too many times. We do it sort of like Price is Right style. We'll take a guess at how long he got locked out to the nearest million minutes.
I don't even ask you the passcode. Probably be easier to guess than the actual question you asked there.
Yeah.
Do you want to know how many millions of minutes?
Yeah, just do it.
1 million minutes.
Right, 1 minute.
2 million minutes.
2 million minutes.
I don't understand hours, and why are you saying in hours, or days, or like a better denomination of minutes? Like surely a minute.
700,000.
Billion minutes.
700,000 million.
Yeah. I feel like you
can
understand.
Yeah.
Not good numbers, guys.
I'll lock in 700,000 million. For you. And I'll let you know now.
We're both constantly recreational drug takers, and we understood the correct.
No, it came to you both way under, except you were way over. 25,536,442 minutes for 48 years with that as we locked out for. It said on the screen that in minutes.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
My question is, what is the dad trying to hide? That, why is his password that strong?
I don't know. It said it would unlock in 2067.
Oh my god, that's a time capsule. Yeah.
To bring it out for kids like 21st birthday or
whatever. Well, unfortunately, the apocalypse is staged for 2066.
We'll probably push it back a year or so.
Darkness, no!
That's 12 hours of darkness. Alright.
Am I winning?
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
They're pointing. I just remembered that it was a quiz and that there might be some sort of competitive structure.
Yes.
I got excited for a second.
Okay, yeah. And essentially, Ron, you've given the closest answers, which is the best I can hope for most of the time. Right.
Should you do a multiple choice question?
No,
joke.
I'll keep it in mind. I'll get back to you. So, the town of Gympie, Queensland.
Good, strong start to a question.
All right. There's a new conspiracy, or something new, but there, someone was putting up posters regarding this conspiracy theory all across the town. Did anyone come across what they're about? It's relatively new conspiracy.
It's from Boyu.
No, no, no.
I was going to say it's far north Queensland, so it's probably racist. I don't know if it's too many Asians.
New conspiracy theory. Mm.
Not enough Asians.
Not to be very
That is definitely
they had, fundraising thing to keep it alive.
How sustainable is that?
$700 million.
I like that though. I like to think that it's like, you know how Bendigo or Ballarat has like an old gold mining field?
Yeah. Where yeah.
Like Gimpy's like, put a block.
So I don't know what the conspiracy is. Sometimes it's like the DVDs and
that. The DVDs come back. No, the VHS is back.
Hard take. Aliens.
Aliens?
I've got nothing.
Guess, no.
Aliens.
It's not new, but it's a good guess.
I don't know. Yes.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Alright, basically, they're pushing this website called Birds Aren't Real, which is a conspiracy theory that all birds are dead and they've been replaced by government drones.
Yeah, that is so cool.
I'll buy it.
Yeah.
Buy
it.
I'm on board.
I've
just heard the initial pitch, but it might not.
It's going to be hard. It's got not trusting the government. It's got the hate of Avery.
Yeah, it's such a bizarre picture. Yeah, so they woke up one morning and someone had just blasted the sound in the. So I guess they put their weak case to good use. If they're a conspiracy theorist, then they're making tons of weak case. And they've just gone out and like blasted this all over the place. So there's been a little bit of like spike in the
echoes.
Unless it's like a long term marketing campaign for a band that's going to be launched. All the birds aren't real.
The diametric opposite of Birds of Tokyo. Yeah.
The Birds of Tokyo aren't real. It's a reading song.
That's alright. This might wrap us up. So, Senator Ian McDonald, he made an accusation about Ping Wong. Does anyone know what it is?
No. That she's too good.
That she's an accusation.
Well, she's a bird that's not real.
She's like, this bird's not real.
Three birds in a trench coat.
Maybe something to do about like doing the citizenship or like loyalties?
Quite close, actually.
Uh-huh. That's classic.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Which one's Ian McDonald?
Oh, he's it's a good one, yeah.
He's Professor Xavier in the
No, so recently, just to give a little backstory before I give you the answer, recently Huang Jingmo, the Chinese billionaire who got his permanent residency denied, who's given like a ton of money to the
This is the one that brought, is this the same donor that brought down
Sestari?
Yeah, that's him. Right, so he's...
Legend of the game. He's done more for the Liberal Party than the Liberal Party.
Well, that's why he was so annoyed that they like knocked back his permanent residency. Then he asked for his money back. He was like, if all my donations are so unethical, give me my money back. And he called Australia big babies, and he's just gone on a tirade.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I've been following this story for a little bit.
That's incredible.
Yeah, but most recently, because... they were talking about the whole thing in Parliament, and Senator Ian McDonald was like, Huang, as in Wong, he said it as Wong.
Right.
So he was like, so you in relation to Penny Wong? Because, yeah, super racist. No, Wong's not like one of the most common surnames in the world.
Wow, great. And
honestly, she's
very, very, absolute goals in the day. I'm sure she took that one down.
Yeah.
I mean,
he doesn't exist. In answer to your early question,
nobody.
If I gave a lot of money to the Labour Party via Sarah Cassiari, I'd be pissed off too. You're in Carl and Jamie, I'd be like, fuck that guy.
Craigslist.
I made a bad choice. Alright, let's go. One last one. Who did Scott Morrison do an impression of in Parliament?
Borat.
Yeah, Borat, yeah.
So, not the first time I've had to answer this in the news quiz.
No, but it's not.
Probably not the last time.
It's
going
to be up for a little bit. While discussing climate change, and the brutality of someone that just passed, and carbon reduction policies of the Labour Party. Basically, he called the carbon tax a Borat tax, right? And then he said the people of Kazakhstan would find it very nice because he is, he expects the type 5 for himself. This is going to be out of jobs. So, we've come to the end of the show. So what I'll do, give it to Ange. And you're picked some of the crowd to get some tickets, a couple of shows. I'll get the details, we'll talk about that later. But
I picked them, pick someone
who you think has supported you. Someone who laughed and was giving you a good time.
I like you.
Yeah.
Way to
accept that
kind of praise.
It's
very
humble, isn't it?
We can talk about it later. Maybe
I'll
tell everyone if you don't want the tickets.
Alright, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your time.